Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to all of my listeners, wherever you may be in this world. Welcome to Hospice Survivors and Victims, Survivors of Medical Kidnap and Murder. I am your host, Carly Walden. I am so thankful to be back. We took a short break, but now we are back in full swing, everyone. So thank you so much for your support and listening. This evening, we are going to continue to talk about Dorothy Darren's demise. I have her daughter, Faith Darren, is on with us. And welcome, Faith.
Oh, hi, Carly. I'm glad
Thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you for inviting me back.
Absolutely. I wanted to give a little bit of introduction, you know, background about Faith. And, you know, Faith has worked in the legal field, and she was a very strong animal advocate and now has become a very strong elder advocate, you know, elder advocate. She worked with animals and now with the elderly
for the vulnerable, the voiceless, people who can't speak for themselves and get railroaded.
That's right.
I try to put my efforts there, but you opened the door for me towards the end of my mom's demise, and I can't. And how you led me through steps, and the horror that how people are misled, thinking that hospice is this wonderful place where you go away and you rest comfortably. What a joke! And nursing homes, they go hand in hand. It's a big business. And from my experience from a few of these places with my mother, it's just astounding. It's astounding. It's frightening.
Right. It is. Yes. And with you, you know, stating that, would you mind taking us and from the beginning of your experience with your mother and what you went through and how you fought for her life and start with that in the nursing homes until hospice?
Well, in 2008, my mom started calling the local police complaining of things missing. Naturally, how they treat the elderly, and she wasn't really elderly, she was 70, and was comfortable in her home, and things were just disappearing, and she was accusing someone specific of it. But they decided to call the state in because she made so many calls, and naturally when the state gets involved and you have assets, hello everybody, they really, cha-ching, become very interested in your well-being, the well-being of your purse strings. And so somehow a power of attorney evolved without me knowing, and someone else got power of attorney and decided after her being in the home 2 years that she should go into a nursing home. That was their decision. The person who had the power of attorney somehow got mysteriously appointed. And I called one day and she wasn't there. I didn't know where my mother
was.
She
wasn't at home.
She was no longer in her home. This was in 2008. The funny thing of it is when the power of attorney was somehow executed, she was in a hospital with me because the police took her down because she had, like, they found her conjunctivitis because of these phone calls. That's the night that this power attorney somehow evolved. Now,
okay.
Went back to the house, and a month later was diagnosed with advanced Alzheimer's, and I don't see how someone with advanced Alzheimer's could sign a power of attorney. I just wanted to stick
that in. Okay, so all of a sudden, here she comes, and now they've thrown a it sounds to me like
yes.
a misdiagnosis of advanced Alzheimer's. Okay.
Yes. Within
okay. Within a month, they did that. So how did you find out, since you were not the medical power of attorney, where your mother was after they took her away from her home?
Well, my aunt and I at the time, being very upset and not knowing where she was, we did the good old detective work the old way. We went through the yellow pages. And I just started looking every nursing home, figuring this, because this person's in charge would more likely be in this area convenient for them. And I just went down the list, and bingo, the first place I called, they said, yes, she's been brought in, and she's with a nurse preparing her. And this
okay.
is where she is. And so that's how I found out. Devastated and heartbroken, let me tell you something, and shocked. And the power, let me add this, this is important. The power of attorney told other people, not me, say goodbye to my mother because she has a month left to live. And he wasn't going to ever tell me where she was. I found her. I went to the place. They let me in as a daughter and let me visit. And once he found out, I found out where she was, he set up rules where there were times I would go there and they wouldn't even let me in. So just to add that.
Oh, that's terrible. Okay, I'm so sorry. Okay.
They turned
Thank
you away. Go. You can't see your mother. Why? You just can't. Well,
right.
It was horrible.
Right. That is terrible. I'm so sorry. It's disgusting. Yes. Especially when you have someone, okay, that's not within, you know, looking out for your mother's best interest is what I'm gathering, just from working with you for almost 2 years.
Well,
okay.
She seemed very drugged. At times, I mean, she was drugged right away because they have
right.
to have drugged because a lot of them wander and go, when am I going home? What's happening? So they have to drug them to keep them calm and not agitated. And, you know,
and see, those are words they commonly use to use and put chemical restraint on our elderly, agitated. Okay, that's a huge one.
Imagine how frightening it is to be dragged out of your home. You're put in another place that you're really not ready for. Your mind is still there. It's not completely gone. It gets worse with the drugs-induced state. So shut
right.
them up, keep them quiet, and just get in your bed and there's no recreation time and fun times like people imagine. Oh, place for this one, or we have a place for that. There may be a few, but it's really a horror show. It's a horrible.
So with your experience
it's worse than
and what
prison.
You went through, they're
prison
treated
is
like
better.
Animals.
Prison, you get 3 hots and a cot. You get to go to a library, a computer. You get to work out in a gym, and the state pays. At a nursing home, you get to stare at walls, ceilings, you get yelled at, If you can't feed yourself, you don't get changed or fed. You're free. I had one lady that was being dragged down the hall, and she's looking at me. Now, I'm frightened. This is all now. I'm in here. My mom's in here. I'm scared. This person's going to really bar me, which they tried several times. And the lady's screaming at me, "Help me, help me, call the police. What's wrong with you? Are you stupid? Call the police." And I'm like horrified. These two big women were dragging her into her room, and I pressed my ear up against the wall. I heard screaming. Then my mom came out of her room because she was still walking, and she would say things to me like, "Faith, this is where I'm going to die. This is where my life ends." And particular night, she got excited and she said, "You get your hands off that lady," because they wouldn't let her sleep in her room. See, I find her sleeping in other people's room.
What a nightmare!
And they said to my mother, the other women, when they're first there, they're able to function somewhat and go to the bathroom on their own. Believe me, they can. My mom was going to the bathroom on her own, even though they had her independent. I would walk her in. And that particular night, she wanted to get involved in stopping them from hurting that woman. Well, let me just put this in really quick, because this is really horrible for a daughter to have.
Absolutely.
They brought my mother back. It was her turn. And they said, "You can't go in." I said, "She's my mother. Why can't I go in? You have to stay out." So I stood out after they got done with that other lady. Jerry was her name. She was a nun from New Jersey. Poor thing. May she rest in peace. And I was listening up against the door to my mom. And I heard my mom crying and saying, "Don't hurt my daughter. Don't hurt my daughter. She's good. Please don't hurt my daughter." Now, I'm frightened out of my mind, because I'm thinking this is a nursing home, assisted living, memory care, whatever. It was like a horror show.
Yes.
I was shocked that I began to recruit anyone who would come with me. "Please come with me. I'll give you $10. Please, I'm begging you. I don't want to go alone."
Right. So it was that terrible. This is the reality of what many nursing homes and assisted living facilities and hospices and boarding rooms have become.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So
many patients. I think I said on the last show, they come in there, and next thing you know, their heads are in the plate.
That's
the plate.
That's
and they
just
don't get
so
fed.
Disgusting.
They put the food out and take it away. Family hardly visits, not many family visits. And if they do, they're very... they're nice to they weren't nice to me because whatever the power attorney said about.
I hate to say that, but these people are disgusting, and I'm just going to refrain what I want to say on air, but these people are disgusting to treat our elderly this way. Whoever gave them the right to do that? Ever.
Ever.
But go
Indeed.
Ahead. I'm incensed by what I'm hearing. Go ahead, Faye. I'm sorry.
Some were doctors, psychiatrists, police, chief of police, all different walks of life. Nuns, like I said, my mom had her whole life, and then they're treated terribly. It's horrible they take poor care of our most vulnerable citizens. And they want their money. The main thing, they liquidate, they rifle through with stocks, houses, whatever their people have, and they don't do it to take care of. If it's a guardianship that could be appointed and you have no say, or if it's someone who is POA, and they just go through all the money, and by the judgment of the way the people look, they're not getting the care inside that facility. Someone else is getting the care. Maybe the person who drives up in a new Lexus is the one getting
the best deal of it. Now, Faith, we have a caller. Let's bring the caller on. I would love to hear from our caller. Give me just
caller,
a moment, okay?
Okay. Is 618?
Yes.
And I believe it's Dennis Ball. Dennis, are you live?
I am. Thank you, Marty. And,
you bet.
Hey,
Carly.
Dennis.
And,
hi, Dennis.
Yes.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity and the invitation. Faith and I have communicated a lot about her mother's case and what has happened down in Florida recently with the shooting. And, you know, it's indicative of our culture. We're going through a bad spell here of behavior that has been growing for a long time. And it really relates, as I've said before, regarding the family structure. And whether people, like I said, if you're not working for your family, who are you working for?
Yes, that's a true point.
Yeah.
So, you know, what have you had experiences Faith has had with seeing this disgusting culture of how they're treating our elderly now in nursing homes and in hospices and assisted living facilities? Wherever our elderly can go.
Carly, my mother was murdered in Arizona in 2006.
Oh,
I did not see her the last 8 months of her life. I cared for her for 10 years and preserved and protected her estate, which was $1 million. They dismantled everything, went through the courts. We had all our directives. Everything was completely disassembled and picked apart. Fortunately, I have the presence of mind to go to the bankruptcy court. The court accepted my petition. I fired Morgan Stanley because I was a beneficiary. They did not protect her estate or assets. They did not protect her health care. Consequentially, I understand everything that everybody is dealing with. And you know, it is all what it is, and it's got to be fixed.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I appreciate all of your input. And thank you for sharing that with our listeners, our audience, awareness is what is going to, and a movement is what's going to put a stop to this. We are going to put a stop to this.
We're
on
the ground roots of a movement that has to be brought forward in every way, because everyone, what people do not realize is you don't have to be 70, 80, 90. You could be 40, and if they decide you need to be in a nursing home to recuperate and you have assets, more than likely you're going to maybe get spoon-fed against your will. You'll be pilfered. The estate will be gone, and you'll think, oh, I'm just going in there to recover from maybe a leg accident or, I don't know, some type of illness, and then you'll leave. And you never leave. It's like the Hotel California, that song by the Eagles. It's like you're welcome.
Yeah.
You can come and check in any time you want, but you can never leave.
Right.
That's hospice. That's nursing home.
You know, that's the culture of death. That's correct. Once they come in and enter, they get their hands in it. It's very corrupt. So, Dennis, you were mentioning that if we're not working for our families, then who are we working for? So I believe that I feel like that's part of, after I'm so sorry to hear that your mother was murdered, and we can have further talks about that. I believe that this has changed your life completely, I am sure. Was this part of the your ideas in helping to change our health care that's in crisis?
Well, you bet. I mean, remember this, that these people have worked in stealth through the courts, and I believe this has been going on for a very long time, where our society has been undermined through the judiciary, through the law schools, the bar associations, You know, I mean, I didn't really understand this until we got sucked into it, myself and my mother, back in 04. And the scenario spun itself as it was, and then I was fortunate enough to have presence of mind go bankruptcy court to put her estate and trust in bankruptcy, and the court accepted it, and I was able to get an attorney to assist me to proceed. The proceedings had Morgan Stanley Smith Barney as a successor trustee. However, despite their ability to manage money and make money, they had a terrible record as far as their legal department in protecting the money from other people in the court system. Okay, so what it amounts to is this, that I am now the trustee. I fired Morgan Stanley, and I took on the responsibility back in 2005, and the court approved it for me to proceed, and I am now the trustee. And next week, I'll be filing papers in Williamson County against some of the players. There's about 30 players in my mother's case. It's a very big case.
I understand. It sounds that way. Yes. Okay. So, well, I appreciate you calling in and giving us, is there anything else you would like to add at this time?
Well, I just think, as we proceed here with the problems of the court, the question is going to become, and it is, as far as I'm concerned, where do we go with our cases? Where do we go?
Yes, that's true.
Yes, that is true. Why?
That's true. Where do we go? And that's something that we can definitely talk about in the future.
We had a big case in Miami.
Oversight committees is a wonderful idea. And I believe, have you heard of this? Citizen oversight committees. And I think that kind of ties in to what you were talking about. I have heard you speak about before, Dennis, with starting from within and getting elected, trying to get people that are, in the culture.
Citizen
of
candidates.
Life.
Right.
Right. Citizen candidates, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's a very, very good idea, and I appreciate all of your input. Is there anything else you would like to say? And then I was going to want to get back to letting Ms. Darren finish her story, but that's very valuable information. Thank you so much.
Well, you're very welcome, and I appreciate all your efforts and Marty as well to make the public aware. I think the idea of abolishing probate is a good one too. When I was in Arizona, I used to have a slogan, still do, vote independent, abolish probate, vote independent, because I don't see this being redeemable. I do. Probate. These were slave courts during the Lincoln's time, when they were dealing with the 13th Amendment. I don't see this having any correction outside of it being gone. They're probating estates before the people die. Probate is supposed to be after you die, not before you die.
Right.
This is a scam on the people. I don't hear any governors, I don't hear any presidential candidates talking about all this, including CPS. I just think we have got to slam people now. We're too far along here. We've just got to get really busy.
I appreciate that so much. That is true. We do have to get busy, and that's exactly what we're doing.
We will put a stop to this. It becomes such a money business. It's a $7.5 billion business, and everyone's hand is in the pot.
Well, it's growing. It's actually more than that. The stats are higher now.
In other words, when people go into hospice for dignity and comfort at the end of life, supposedly, it's not even like that, not from my experience.
No, it's not, and that's what we're going to get back to. So thank you so much, Dennis, for calling in, and I will definitely reach out and speak with you for sure at a later date. Thank you so much for calling in.
You bet.
Thank you. We'll always remember this, Dennis. If you're not working for the family, then who are you working for?
That's right.
That's
right.
All right.
That's right. Okay. Right. Thank you so much. All right.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you, Dennis.
Bye.
Okay. And moving forward, Faith, with that, I wanted to get to some of the major things because I did work with you on your case.
Yeah.
And came in when things were getting very bad. So I want to get to the point after your mother, she went through several nursing homes and was mistreated. She was neglected. You did everything you could trying to help not only your mother but others as well.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. So
I tried
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I tried to just to make it really quick. If I'd see a patient that wasn't eating or just staring at into space, I'd go over and I would get them to eat. In any way I could, gently, because that's how you have to be with them. And
I
broke my heart that they were neglected that way. But then we have that fateful day when we really got together, when I came to visit my mother at the other place I won't mention, where her dentures were lost, her glasses were lost. She was becoming a wreck. Big yellow toes were forming, and I see that they're moving her now out of this room. That you have to imagine, I'm trying to rescue my mother, and I have to keep tracking her down and getting abused at the same time. And so I see this person who's in charge. I said, well, where's mommy? Where's our mother? What's going on? We put her in a bin. I'm going, what? So we said partially the name, and I won't say the whole name. And I just started Googling the closest thing that would come out, assisted living, with those three words. And the area, again, that I figured most close to the convenient for them, for their convenience. I
so
don't count. I'm just
on.
A daughter.
Okay, yes.
I'm the step-headed, red-headed, step-headed nothing. You know, here it's my mother and our mother. And so I showed up at that place. My face shows up. It shows up again. Carly, it may show up one day at your window. I don't know. No, that's a joke. But the truth of the matter is it's like an intuition. It's like that thing inside of you. It's my mother. And I had found her at this place, and they let me in, and it was like a house. And upstairs there was a few people up there. And downstairs is a makeshift little thing for her. And this person is telling me, this is a great place. A great place. You could smell the death in that place. It smelled of death.
Oh, God, that's horrible. Oh, my God.
And every time I went over there, she would be this is my terminology, I call it walling, walling. They pick a wall for you, they place you in a wheelchair, and you get to face a wall, not even of your choice, and stare at it. You get what's called sealing. Sealing is when you lay in your bed flat, neglected and unattended. Bed sores forming, septus forming, choking on fluids, starving, dehydrating. So when they give you that nice injection of morphine, you shudder and shiver and you're out like a light. But till then, they let you stare at the ceiling. So maybe you could get to see, if you're lucky, you get to see a fan spinning around. And that's the life.
This is
imagine
just terrible.
Inside
oh my
that
God.
Person's that person's mind. Imagine inside.
They treat animals better than this.
Year after year, she did walling and sealing and chicken twirling in her hand, I found at one time, because they must have punished her and left her in the living room at that other place in her yesterday's clothing, and I came extra early, and they were furious. But
they were furious because you had caught the neglect. Okay.
Well, I would do that. I would come and appear at different times. I didn't want them to get, like, a schedule on me. But it
okay,
it
so when you were at this, because finally she got to this assisted living facility, just to recap for our listeners, she had been through several nursing homes, and then she got to the assisted living facility.
Actually, she'd been through her home. She'd been through the one nursing home. This one we're talking about now, then the hospital, then another one where she was finished off. She was a fighter. They couldn't finish her off. She fought, and I fought with
mm-hmm.
her, and I kept promising
right.
her I would get her out. But when I would call you, let's talk about when I called you and what happened
okay.
with the police. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. I can speak on that a little bit. Yes, I was involved with Helping Faith, and I called the police on Faith's behalf as an elder advocate, and I wanted Faith's mother to be checked out because they were really trying. They used these tactics to intimidate the family. And they really do. A lot of these facilities will try to intimidate, especially if there's a guardianship that's involved. Okay, this all ties in together. Guardianships, assisted living facilities, hospices, all of this is connected. Probate, probate court, all of this is connected, you all. And so I did call 911. They did send the ambulance over there. And supposedly her mother was checked out. Now, Faith said she had bed sores. I believe Faith. She was not being turned. I spoke to her every single day. And if an old person is not turned, they're going to get bed sores. They're laying in one position all day long. And so, anyway, these police officers were scoffing. You know, they were scoffers. You know, they were laughing, joking. This was not a serious matter to them, and it was very, very disappointing that we were not able to get your mother at that time to the hospital. But eventually,
what happened,
she did get there.
Right. As soon as she got there, the person in charge beat them to it, and with his order demanded that she be put back at that place. So
right,
see,
so she did, yeah,
they never
so
checked
she,
her
she,
out. They would
so,
not
right,
let her,
so she,
right. Then there was another incident. Remember, I was so frightened to go there because of what they were doing to me was horrible. I don't
right.
need to even discuss what they were doing and saying to me on the phone is so humiliating, and putting their hands on me, let's just put it to you that way, I tolerate a lot because I had to keep nothing to keep me from my mother. I couldn't do anything that would keep me from my mother, so I had to
right.
tolerate abuse. And,
right, and that is
I
so, and that's the reality of what we're living in today. It's
yes,
true.
And
a lot of people do.
I remember
and it,
I was
yes.
expecting a call. I was afraid to go there, and I said, please, and you had to lead me there, and I had to pull into a parking lot where I had a police officer walk me back into the facility. Two cop police officers came. I was frightened.
Yes.
And you are on the phone with me, and
that's
I'm
right.
showing them that there's no ADA lifts. You know, how could she take a shower in a wheelchair? They didn't have the facilities to shower or wash or clean her. She hadn't been washed, I would say, in maybe years, just maybe wiped down. But in that place, there was no facility. The girl that was caring for, it was, all I know is when the police came, I said, look at the wheel. Well, what's wrong with the wheelchair? She has a wheelchair. I said, yes.
Right.
But she can't walk. How does she go into the shower? The shower has a, you have to step in it. Well, there's that plastic thing over there. I said, but how could she sit on the plastic if she can't walk in the shower or be carried in? Because she got very heavy. How do you shower her? How is she sponged? Look at her toenail.
Right, right.
Well,
I do believe that. You know, the police officers need to be more educated as well when it comes to elder abuse. That is
and
one
then,
point that I will make after going
yes,
through
that's
your
true.
Case.
And then, remember, I'm on the phone with you, and he said, hang that phone up now. I said, I'm with my advocate. Hang it
right.
up. So I had to hang
That's
the
true.
Phone up, and I didn't mean to do that to you, Carly, but I didn't
well,
want to
no,
get arrested
you couldn't
thrown
help
out
that,
of there.
That's just that. I mean, that's, you were dealing with the police, and that's just, you know, they're just ignorant.
Only
when a
to
lot
hang
many
up,
are.
I listened to them. That was, and they said to me, when you're here, you don't feed your mother. I said, all I'm giving her is Ensure and Boost. So they're not feeding
right.
her. She's getting no liquid. She's dehydrated. I said,
right.
that's all I'm giving her. It's not sugary. It's not going to hurt her. No one's giving her liquid.
Yeah, I knew that they were fighting you on giving her hydration. And,
yes.
you know, that's the most, you know, it's the most horrid thing I've ever, it's,
she was severely hydrated.
Unthinkable.
Because when they're severely hydrated, and you know this, they dehydrate. So your organs shut down. Water's very important. They don't feed you, so you're starving. You know, at night when you wake up and you feel dryness and you reach, you have the luxury to reach for a glass of water, you have to lay
yes.
there in their position and suffer with that
yes.
dryness. And then
yes.
if you're hungry, you can't eat or eat what you want to eat. You're treated like you murdered somebody, like you're a murderer, when they're really
right.
trying to murder you.
Right.
And then they want to finish you off with dignity and comfort. They hospice does give you dignity and
well,
comfort. They starve you, they
right
dehydrate you, and then they do over-medicate you and kill you.
They do. They do kill you. That's right. They do kill. They do. They are. This is
they're murderers.
What we
I don't
are
care if they don't like the
this
word. That's
the...
how I feel about it. That's my freedom to say that. And then
yes, it is.
I went there, and with the sores, bed sores forming on her ears, on her toes, all over the place, but I didn't see the full thing of it until one day I got so mad. I said, I don't care at this. I can't take this. I can't take looking at my mother like this. And these were nut jobs too, who upstairs before the other ones would get their goodbye shots. Why did they sing? This is two hospice places sing a song. You're going to walk. You will be free. I mean, are they maniacs? You're singing?
Right.
Singing for a patient? That they're going
right.
to be free? It's going to be beautiful?
Yeah.
You're going to
see,
walk?
Many are so, they're brainwashed. Many are brainwashed. They are taught this now. This is the, you know, this is the culture of death operating under secular bioethics. And they are taught this in medical and in nursing school, and they think that it's mercy killing, and it's not. This killing is that is murder, and they're just doing it with a hypodermic needle, and it's no different from someone pulling up to you at a QT gas station and pulling the trigger and blowing your head off than someone sticking the hypodermic needle in you and giving you lethal
but,
drug
but the
cocktails.
The thing that people think is, oh, hospice, end of life with dignity and comfort, and you'll be taken care of and have love and comfort. It's not what I experience. It's horrendous. It's not at
right.
all.
So what happened? Did you? I want to get, you know, more specifically to I know that your mom was taken out of that facility. She was for a period of time. She was in the hospital, and I know that the doctors were very pleased with how much better she was improving. And
yeah.
Then, did you want to talk about that?
Well, okay, so I finally, when I did all that and started ripping the blankets off of her bear, and I saw what was going on, all kind of things, because they kept her covered, and they watched me all the time. I did, so she's rushed to the hospital. I'm in the emergency room helping whatever I could. She's a left arm. Her veins in the left would be better. They would collapse. She was so low, she was dying. She was drowning in fluids because she also had pneumonia.
They started pulling that fluid off, right, in the hospital.
She was getting the fluid out of her, giving her antibiotics. She had septicitis, blood poisoning, urinary tract infection, 3-4 stage. Bed sores.
Oh my God! See,
and
this is all from the assisted, living facility. This is how terrible the neglect is. Sepsis you can die from, and bed sores you can die from.
Dying from. And you know what? Imagine going to the bathroom, and I said this before, and you're urinating. Because you're in bed and you have to go and you can't help yourself. And it's going down right into that hole by your buttocks. And it's
right
before where your bones, that's the end. You're a hole there. Imagine the pain as it builds up till the tissues are dead and black and a hole. I have pictures of it. So I have proof of it. I have pictures of her sucking down 4 bags of ice. They couldn't get it in her right arm, but we got in left. Well, that night when I finally left, she seemed as stable as she could be, and you could only pray. You could only pray that she would be okay and stuff like that.
Right.
I come back on Friday. I was like beside myself, exhausted, but I was elated. My mother's saved. So I took Thursday like a moron off, and what happens? The power of idiots in charge, attorneys in charge, have them remove the IVs because they're too painful. We have to remove the IVs because they're too painful for her. It's not even your mother. Consult me. Why? Because they also were going to give her something up her leg, an antibiotic, because of all that was going on. And I was there Friday. She was giggling. She was eating. Remember, she was brought in on Wednesday.
Right. And these were the people that were
siphoning
off the estate.
Yeah,
while
she's eating in the hospital. She's coming around. Miraculous how this woman is doing it and talking and mumbling and smiling and feeding her. And then the other one comes in and grabs the fork to start feeding, feeding to alleviate her conscience for pilfering through all of her stuff, allegedly. And I just let it slide. I was just so happy, thinking, God, I'm going to get her into a home near me where I 24 hours and they let you in, sleep.
You could watch over your mother. You could literally be there with her, watch her get better. I know that all of that was your goal. That was from the very start.
They're ruined when they're also, you can get dementia from pills. If you get a lot of medication, you have dementia, psychological, you could get dementia could come from.
Yes. Antipsychotics are very dangerous for the elderly, such as Haldol and Seroquel.
Yes.
And those are used in hospice. Mm-hmm. And Ativan is in the class of benzapines, but they use that in hospice. So anyway, moving further
so
along,
now,
I know the
bring
doctor
her into
was
the last
upset.
Place he transported her to? So he takes her out of the hospital
and
they
was
bring
the doctor
her over.
Upset? Was there a doctor that was upset, if I recall correctly?
Oh, yeah. He came in, this doctor was off duty and was called in special. He had the guys tied. He probably worked his double shift by family to do the special. He had to put something up her groin or something to get antibiotics in her. They already pulled out her IVs, but he wanted to do this, so they were still helping her. The two parties.
Did he ever address the medical power of attorney when the power of attorney
did,
went
and
to pull
said, no,
your mom out of the hospital?
They refused to let the doctor do what he needed to do, and the doctor was very, very displeased.
Okay.
I came,
so from this point,
to the effect, I came here on my day off.
Right.
She needs this. No.
So the doctor's going out of his way knowing that she needs his help.
Yes, that's correct.
And he can get her back. She was improving rather rapidly.
Oh, my God. Was she improving? That woman, it's a shame. It's a pity. But the other thing is now he decides to placate me and he's going to transport her near me, but he puts her in another hospice because they said if you're not going to put her in a nursing home, the hospital said, then you got to then put her back in hospice. So he puts her back in hospice to shut me up. He puts her by my house so I could be with her, which I was a lot.
Okay.
I'm feeding her there the first few days. She's eating. She's happy. TV, we even watch the Golden Girls. She loves that song, Thank You for Being a Friend, that show. I'm saying Mom loved the show. It was a show she loved in her time and stuff.
Great show, yes.
Yeah, Thank You for Being a Friend. And then we were
happy. Did you know that this was a hospice? I'm just think it was in a
That's a second
you knew it, okay, so what I want you to kind of, for all of our listeners so that they know what to pick up on and what, that they are being murdered in hospice, please, I know it's hard to go there. But
it's
I'm right here with you, and I want to, for you to explain what happened to your mom as she entered this last
hospice. She entered this last phase, and it turns out it's a hospice. Well, I'm hoping he's going to change his mind and put her across the street to Ocean Manor. I mean, this other place I mentioned that she never went to or had anything to do with that place. Instead, she remained day one in hospice, doing well, eating, watching TV, day two, this and that. By day three, the other brother flies in, visits approximately that time frame. And then when he goes home, she's really, after he sees the visit, she's wheeled into this, or rather, I should say, she's now wheeled into this other room, which is downgraded with people next door with the curtains screaming and crying because their loved one is going and carrying on. And my mom's hearing this. And, and we had to be quiet for them to grieve while my mom's laying there. I mean, that was torture because this poor woman knew. She knew. And because she always responded to me. So, what makes it
and the hearing is always the last thing to go. They do hear. So, yes. So, your mother knew. You feel like your mother knew that they were killing her, Faith?
Yeah, she really did know because throughout the whole process, every now and then, even at the other place, she would come through. I even have her where I recorded her, where she said, I guess mm-hmm. this is where I'm going to die now. And mm-hmm. I put the date and everything, and it was horrible. I said, Mom, somehow I have to get out. I don't know how. And mm-hmm. but at this last place, they first, in the mm-hmm. first 2 days, they're nice. They give a meal, they feed, they're okay. Because they're getting ready for the other family member to fly down to say the goodbye. So they're making her...
Now, would you say that that's part, and I'm just asking you, do you feel like that's part of the sales pitch that hospice gives to families to make it
yes,
attractive?
Yes, I was okay. very pleased with this one. I thought, oh, my God. This is nice. They're treating her wonderful. I bet you she could go into that nursing home at the rate she's eating. Finally, they got mad at me. I would get food down her and eat, and they go, she regurgitated. You're not getting food down her. You people, you think you just come in here and you fed your mama and you think that she ate. Well, she threw it up. I said, I don't think she threw it up. I was here 4 hours, and then I came back later, and I would have seen signs of her throwing up. And I said, she's got a catheter in her. Why is there blood in her catheter? Why isn't there enough mm-hmm. urine coming through there? What's going on? Oh, she would just give me a dirty look.
Right.
She can't drink it. I said, I'm getting liquids. I'm getting the liquids. If I have to stay 4 hours, I'm getting liquids down my mother. I
so
took
they were
the
fighting
rent.
You against...
Well, I started getting rowdy. I couldn't take it from them anymore. So I took a syringe, because that's what I used to do when I had my animals. And when an animal couldn't eat or drink or needed to take a pill, you take a syringe, and they probably do with babies. I never had a baby, sadly. It's another story. But I
yeah.
would put the syringe in my mom's mouth and gently squirt her with water
okay.
and keep doing
now,
it. And I
just
did it
because,
with, go ahead.
You know, for time's sake, I kind of
yeah,
want,
go ahead.
You know, because I want you to get this in of
okay.
how they murdered your mom. So let's get to that point. I know I was on the phone with you. I know that we were singing to your mother, and I knew what they were doing, as well as you. So what, can you take me to the point where there was the nurse and she
okay.
put, yeah.
So when I knew it was coming to the end, because that morning she was cold, like I said, there was blood in her catheter. They were no water, nothing. They would get nastier and nastier to me, and I kept coming back. Finally, I came back later, and now this is the most horrific part, and
yeah.
I want everyone, this is the truth. This is what I witnessed. It's a horrible thing I will live with for the rest of my life, but it will save others. Listen,
yes.
people. Listen. I had this nut job nurse. I respect nurses, not all a nut job, but this was a nut job. She's in there again. What's with the singing? You're tonight. I have to get singing lessons so I could sing well for everyone. Tonight, your mother, she's going to die. Aren't you happy? Oh, she'll die. She'll die. And I'm like starting to like really flip out, but I'm flipping out inside, but I'm controlling myself. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, this lady's like sick. She's running around with some kind of syringe. I know she's injecting my mother because my mother is now drowning and gasping. These are the noises she made. This is wonderful hospice where you die with dignity when you listen to your mother go, and you're running over on her chest, pounding that hard. Mom, Mom, wake up, Mom, Mom. Mm. And her eyes are open, and I'm shutting them, and they're popping open, and she's shaking. And the word I said before, she's shaking, not to be funny, but like she's doing the shimmy. her body shaking all over, and that breathing and the eyes. And I'm trying to comfort her, Mom, Mom. And she always responded, and she wasn't responding anymore to me. She wasn't responding because they were killing her with the injections. They were putting white matter within her mouth. The taste, the blood with that thing. I got so nauseated, I looked at her. I said, you're sick, you're sick, you're sick, and you're a murderer. I was beside myself.
Yeah.
I had to walk out of there. I feel bad because when I was going back, she passed. So I feel horrified about that, but I don't think she would have wanted me to see her like that. She would never want, because she had dignity.
Yeah.
But, you
that's
know,
right.
I'm going to be honest.
You know, Faith, I want you to know, I know.
I'm going to really
be
honest with you. I'm sorry, I'm crying.
That's okay, honey.
Why did they do that to her? All of them. They're all responsible. Every single person has to answer to someone, God, a higher being, karma, whatever you believe in. She was tortured, and I saw other people get tortured, and I witnessed it. And if someone tries to give me this BS, oh, it's wonderful, it's comforting. You know what? Check yourself in and lay there and let them do whatever they want to you, and then come back if you survive it, because it isn't. They make money. It's referral. The nursing home gets a kickback. The doctors get kickbacks. The hospice gets a kickback. It's like a bed turnover. It's a merry-go-round.
It is. It is. It is.
And that's
and
the
you know
truth
what, Faith,
about
I just want to thank you for being so honest and so transparent, because this is occurring. I want our audience to know this is occurring every day in many rogue hospices. They are giving people, and misdiagnoses are a large part of this problem. They're giving
people making everyone has dementia.
They
have dementia.
Right.
Now, I just want to say one thing. Remember that lady, Carol Herman, that you introduced me to? She's from that organization, Fate. It's for
The Foundation of
Aiding
the
Elderly.
I referred you all to her.
She's been wonderful. But let me tell you something. How long ago has she been working on about the time you were helping me and you were giving me avenues? Do you know ACA? How long is my mom going to be dead? March 6th, coming up this 2018, a year now. ACA still hasn't gotten their report, done nothing much with fines, gave them some fines, it wasn't corrected. They're a joke. DCF,
they
ACA, they're
whole,
a joke.
Everything has to be. That's why we're doing this show. Change is going to occur. It is going to occur. So people are going to, I know that people are going to stand up and have a voice and give their loved ones a voice that this has happened to. And these entities that are in place that are supposed to protect us and the laws that are in place to protect us are not being enforced. So, we're getting close to the end of the show. I wanted to know, you know, Faith, I love you. I appreciate you so much.
You too.
I really do. What would you tell? I would like for you to tell our audience. What would you like for them to know? What you can say here in the last couple of minutes.
What I would have to say to everyone, I think they kind of, from the way I express myself, got the message. Are most vulnerable, and that could be even children. Anyone who's caught up in these institutions, these nursing homes, these hospice places, you could even be young, you're at the mercy of other people caring for you who really are not taking the Hippocratic Oath seriously anymore. It's the money oath. They're only interested in money. Unfortunately, there could be stuck in really dedicated, wonderful people. But you know what? When they get work at these places, they have to go by the rules. Don't feed the patient. Don't give them water so their organs shut down. They want them to die. They get paid for the month if the patient dies.
Yeah, they do.
They get their full. So isn't that beautiful? That one dies 2 days later. You pay for the month. You get that one there. Fill that bed. That bed's filled. Each dies every 2 days, every 3 days. My mom was in hospice for like 8 months. Isn't that a long time? They couldn't kill her.
Right, and also,
that's what I would tell you.
Hospice can go on for quite a while if someone has private pay, and we can get into that in further shows. And you have, you know, you've really shed light on these murders that are occurring in hospices around the United States, and it is happening in the United States. Every day,
Carly, there's a lack of oversight, a big lack of oversight all over the country for the industry and the violations.
Okay, I don't mean to cut you off real quick,
Let
me just let our audience know. The way that I am taking stories, people, I would like for you to email me at victims. And the and sign whistleblowers at outlook.com. Victims and whistleblowers at outlook.com. We are going to continue this. I would like to, I also need some documentation to vet your story. So when you do get in touch with me, just have some documentation I can look over, and we will get you on the air. And we're going to continue this, and we're going to work on this, and we are going to make change in history, and we're going to stop these murders from occurring, okay? We're going to stop people turning the blind eye and sticking their head in the sand, okay? And Faith, due to the time, I want to thank you for everything that you have shared tonight, your story and everything. And I want to thank you for fighting so hard for your mother.
I want to thank you for everything that you did on this horrible journey, but you were there. You were there and thank you so much. And I'm so really blessed that I know somebody as wonderful and caring as you, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I was alone in this until you came along.
Well, I'm always here for you, always, and will always be.
It
was my pleasure to help you.
I appreciate you having me.
That was so nice for you to say. I appreciate your words. I really do. It was a pleasure to help you with your family.
Thank you. And thank Marty and everybody, and God bless, and have a great night, and stay away from
hospice. Absolutely. And yes, and stay away from hospice. Use home health care, people. Okay, guys. And with
bye. Thank you.
With that, I hope everyone, wherever you are in this world, I hope that you really got a lot out of this evening. And we're going to keep rolling strong with this show. And I look forward to hearing from you. That's victims and whistleblowers at outlook.com. Get in touch with me. All right, everyone, have a wonderful evening. Our music will come on shortly.
Good night.
Good night, babe. God bless you.
Thank you.